The parasha opens, Vayeshev Yaakov ve'eretz megurei aviv ve'eretz Kanaan. The introduction to all that's to come, to all the stories of Yosef and his brothers, the introduction is Vayeshev Yaakov ve'eretz megurei aviv ve'eretz Kanaan. Yaakov is living in the land where his fathers lived, in Eretz Kanaan. We're sort of used to that pasuk. Parsha's Vayeshev. So that's backwards. Parsha's Vayeshev because of that pasuk. We're used to that pasuk because we hear it four times a year. But why is it there and what's it telling us? Once you start to think about that, that's actually, that should bother us. What's added by that pasuk? We know. We know from before, we know from afterwards. Yes, Yaakov Avinu was living in Eretz Kanaan. And yes, Eretz Kanaan is where Avraham Yitzchak lived. Yes, okay. We knew that. What's the pasuk adding? And why is that particularly the introduction to everything that is to come? To the last third is to come out. The last third, the last quarter of Sefer Bereishis, which is dedicated to the stories of Yosef and his brothers. The Ramban says, again, in Kedarko, Ramban doesn't ask the kasha, he just gives the teres. Sometimes you learn a taisus and it's named Tomrei Shlomar. Sometimes you learn a short taisus, he just makes a comment and you're supposed to unpack there was a kasha and teres, like Rashi al HaFumish. And like sometimes, as we've seen often, the Ramban on Chumash as well. Ki omar shalufe esav yashu ve'eretz yachuz asam. He had said, he, meaning Ribbono Shlom in the Chumash, that the alufim of Esav lived the eretz yachuz asam. That is a paraphrase of the foregoing 43 psukim, the end of Vayishlach. We hear a lot about the various alufim of Esav, and we hear about that language of living the eretz yachuz asam. Kilomar ha'aretz shelakhu hem yachuz asolam. I mean, they were living, the Bnei Esav, the Alufa Esav, were living in the land of their Achuza, in the land of their heritage, in the land where they had settled, where their Ochez, they were holding on. In other words, that was permanent. That was Achuza Solom. Yaakov, on the other hand, lived Kiger, Migure Aviv, specifically. Migurim is Milashin Ger. He was living here temporarily. Ke Aviv, as Avram and Yitzhak did. Be'eretz lo lahem, ela l'kanan. That the Pasuk Rabban pointed out is actually super, super, super meduyah. Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz meguri avim, be'eretz kanan. It was, we know it's Eretz Kanan, but we're highlighting right now it was under the dominion of Kanan. It wasn't Eretz Israel yet, it was Eretz Kanan. And it was the land where he was continuing to do what his father had done, which was to live here as a ger. Remember Avram Avinu and Chayisar? Ger b'sashav anachim achem? The comments of Rashi. That on the one hand, on the other hand, and the famous drasha of the Rav, based on that Rashi. So, toshav means I live here permanently, but ger means there's something temporary about it. I'm not a citizen. I'm a legal resident, but I'm not a citizen. I reside here. I'm a ger. So the Chumash is pulling together all of those threads. Like Yitzhak, his father, Yaakov Avinu was living in a temporary fashion in a land that at this point in time was predominantly the land of Canaan, not the land of the Jewish people. And what's the significance of that to raise? Now we begin to understand what it is that the Pasuk is telling us. Unlike, in sharp contrast to Esav, whom we heard for the preceding 42 Sukkim, the last third of Parsha Yishlach, he was well settled with Alufin, with political structure. He was well settled. He had Nachuza, and the Achuza was somewhere else. Yaakov Avinu was here as a gift. And what? So now we understand what the Pasuk is saying. Okay, so it doesn't seem just like a redundant Pasuk. It's telling me something. And what's the significance of what it's telling me? Why is it here? Question number two. Why are we hearing about the here? Hakavana lehagid, and the goal of this, the objective, what the Torah is driving at, is to tell me, kihein bo charim lagur be'eretz hanizkeret, that Yaakov and his family chose to live here. It was merely lagur, but it wasn't achuzah, but it was eretz hanizkeret, the land that had been chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov Avinu preferred a temporary living in a place of Kedusha. He wanted Eretz Yisrael. You'll remember, in last week's parsha, shortly before the Torah transitions to telling us the genealogy of Esau's family, remember at the end of Yaakov's encounter with Esau, what happens near the end, the end of the conversation, Esau says, I'll travel with you. Yaakov says, it's okay, you go back to Sarah, I'll get there eventually. I'll get there eventually. Well, what's the significance of that? Some of you shall quote from Midrash Chazal that's explained further in the Haftarah, the end of Avadia. Ba'akris Hayamim, Vomoshim Hartzim Lishpar is Har Esav. Then Kal Yisrael will show up at Har Esav, and that will be the final showdown. So eventually we'll get to Seir. So that's part of what's going on. But another level of what's going on is Yaakov could have gone with Esav to Seir then, and he would have been well taken care of. But chose instead, in the simplest level, Yaakov said, you're going to Seir, but it's okay. Yaakov tried to finesse his choice. Without being too blunt or too insulting, you're going to say, that's fine, I'm going to stay here. Yaakov chose to live in Eretz Canaan. And what's the significance of that? And this should sound familiar from an opera that we learned last week. But look, the Ramban is already saying it several centuries before the Brisker of Shaniskayim Bahem Kigeri Zaracha Be'eretz Olam. Below the Esav, Brisbane Absarim Kigeri Zaracha Be'eretz Olam. The definition of who's Zera Avram and who's therefore merits Torah in Eretz Israel was being fulfilled. Yaakov chose to fulfill it, and Esav chose to not fulfill it. Esav chose to settle elsewhere. Yaakov chose to live temporarily to be a ger, but in Eretz Yisrael. That's exactly those two elements. Ger is Eretz Yisrael. The Rabban almost sounds like he's saying, perhaps, that the ger is Eretz Yisrael. We usually assume, here's another chiddush, the Rabban slides in. But we usually assume that pasuk is a reference to when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Avraham Avinu, Bishvah of Sarim, Ki Ger Yezarach Averes Olahem." Your Zera, your descendants, will be a Ger where? Averes Olahem means which land? Mitzrayim. Usually means Mitzrayim, and it means Mitzrayim also. But Rabbanan points out it doesn't only mean Mitzrayim. Yaakov is ready to be Mekayim that now by living in Eretz Canaan as a Ger. Is that a Chiddush? The truth is, in a certain sense, it's not a chiddush, because we've all heard that the teretz, Hari Miyashe, 400 years versus 210 years. So what's the teretz? 210 years is counting from when the Jewish people go down Parshas Vayigash to Eretz Mitzrayim. 400 years, 190 years earlier, is counting from the birth of Yitzhak. The birth of Yitzhak. Birth of Yitzhak in what land? Eretz Canaan. When did Yitzhak go down to Mitzrayim? Never. So what do you mean? How are you counting 400 years of the Geri Yezarach of Eretz Olahem from the birth of Yitzhak? Of all people, Yitzhak. Yitzhak never left Eretz Israel. More precisely, he never left Eretz Canaan. And Ramban is pointing out, once you put the pieces together and plug it back in, it has to be this way, actually. That Geri Yezarach of Eretz Olahem means that Mahalach, that the 400 years begin from Leidas Yitzhak means that they were already being the time Ger Yezarach of Eretz Olam to an extent, even in Eretz Canaan. What does that mean? Rabban says, that's exactly what the pasuk here is saying. That it was Megurim. And what's significant, they were in Eretz Yisrael, but it was Eretz Canaan. Not even from a Kedusha standpoint, but politically, they weren't in charge. Kal Yisrael will come back under Yehoshua in several centuries and begin to establish sovereignty. It'll take time to spread their sovereignty, the hegemony over Eretz Yisrael, and that's part of the story of Yehoshua and Shoftim and Shmuel. But at that point, there's going to be an increasing process of actually being the sovereign power of Eretz Yisrael. Now, Yaakov Avinu is the Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. They live in Eretz Yisrael, but it's Eretz Canaan. They're not at home. They're not the citizens. They're not defined in the culture. Now, Ban saying, you put all the pieces together, that's what's going on in Brisbane Absar. There's going to be a degree of gerus in Eretz, even Eretz Canaan, and then obviously it's going to, that's going to be specifically, presumably, in Mitzrayim, where the whole process would be Abram and Yashom. And then the Ramban is saying, not only is the pasuk putting all these pieces together, but it's stressing that Yaakov chose it. That's what Ramban is highlighting. Yaakov and his family chose to be mere Gerim, but in the Eretz HaNetzeres, which is a fulfillment of this pasuk. Ki Geri HaZachar Eretz Olehem, not Esau. Ki Bi Yaakov Levado Yikar Olehem Zara. Yaakov was Zara Avra. Ki Bi Yitzchak Yikar Olehem Zara. Bi Yitzchak Lokol Yitzchak. Yaakov was the element of Yitzchak that becomes, steps into the role of Zara Avram. Esav, not Esav, was a biological descendant of Avram, but the bris bin, I'm sorry, the pasuk he just quoted, ki geriyeh zaracha be'eretz Olehem, zaracha is a reference davka to Yaakov and not to Esav. That's what we had seen, we discussed last week. That's what Biskarov explains the significance, the objective of the seven psukim at the end of Chayisara, and there's 43 psukim at the end of Vayishlach that delineate and describe the genealogy of Yishmael and Esav, is specifically highlighting that they were well settled, they were not gerim, and that they were had no interest, that they chose of their own accord to settle well and to settle elsewhere, not to stick around Eretz Kanaan, not to stick around Eretz Israel. Ramban is already there, we're just grab on text a little more. But the Ramban is already saying that. And Ramban is already seeing that in, not surprisingly, the pasuk that follows. That mahalak and all the psukim of Yishlach is captured in the very next pasuk. The way the Torah sets up the contrast is Yaakov, the Yesha Yaakov, Eretz Meguriyav, and Eretz Kanaan. So that's the introduction to this last segment of Sefer. Of Sefer Bereishis, the last quarter, say the fourth third, quarter. The last quarter of Sefer Bereishis is the stories of Yosef and his brothers. Yeah, question.
Why is the language by Yishev Yaakov not by Yigar Yaakov?
I'm not sure. It's a Ger V'Toshav. Their Ger V'Toshav sounds like that Toshav is the opposite of Ger. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Now again, that is interesting. He's saying, well, the Rabbana should be consistent. On the other hand, I would push back. Avraham Avinu also describes himself as both.
He wasn't Zara, he didn't
have to. Okay, that's true. But what I would say is, apparently you can be in the middle. Now again, there are different ways to understand Ger V'Toshav. So Rashi gets involved in. Is it either or is it yes and? Which is maybe a little reminiscent of Machlokes Glazer and of Yeshua, in otherwise unrelated context. But Lachem versus Lashem, but we saw this a couple months ago, if Simchas Yamtiv is either Lashem or describes Lashem and describes Lachem, does that mean it's either or does that mean it's a blend of both? So one approach, the Rashi quotes, is either or. I can either choose to act as a Ger or I can choose to act as a Toshav. The way others understand it, that's what the Rav builds on, is it's both. To a certain extent I'm a Ger and to a certain extent I'm a Toshav. In other words, there is space in between, there's daylight between being the dominant culture and mom is just passing through and having no foothold whatsoever. To be in between. To settle to an extent, but it's still not yet Eretz Yisrael. And that is Al Pi Pashtus. When you look through the Psukim, Yaakov Avinu definitely settled somewhat. And all his family was growing, his wealth was growing. It's not like he was just passing through for a week. He was there for decades. But at the same time, they retained an element of Gaius. There was an element of Megurim. Interesting also that the Ramban's Diak in Megurim, because I think in later forms of Hebrew, in Mishnei, Kibra, and beyond, they Megurim just means where you live. I don't think in later Hebrew Megurim connotes a temporariness. The Ramban is saying, but in the language of Tanakh, the Hebrew of Tanakh, Megurim, Megurim implies something temporary. A little bit similar to what we had just earlier this week. The Gemara and Pei Alf on Beis, the Yichud Sugi is about Yichud versus Dira. The Dira means to live permanently, whereas Yichud implies something less than that. So he's saying Megurim also implies something less than a permanent year. It's not saying it's in Shir, obviously, but a somewhat parallel concept. Yeah.
You also say maybe that, kind of according to Rashi, Yaakov intended to be Beis Yishev, then Hashem was like, well, not yet. Like, it's kind of Yaakov thought that and
interesting. Okay.
I mean, he was trying for what? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mensch chops and got lach. You have to plan at the same time, recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu may redirect us. Yeah. So that's an important introduction just to all these parashas. Vayeshev, Niketz, Vayigash Vayechi. It puts a lot of this into context. And I think what Gabriel is saying is very significant. Also, combined with what Elisha is saying, that what you're watching is they're not trying to go into Golos. They're trying to settle. And we're watching what the human beings are choosing to do. And we're watching how Hashem is driving results. Efforts are on us, results are on Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to see to it that the Bris B'Yam Sarm is fulfilled. We weren't trying to end up in Golos. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mesabeh Kalasibos. Every human being made his own Hashkacha Pratis decisions throughout the next couple of parashas, and yet we're watching the way events play out.